Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you, now that's our text, but I'm going to ask you to maybe go ahead and get your finger over in chapter 25, because we'll be going over there in just a few moments, and for the sake of time, you can already be there. And so, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verse 19, and it says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now we already, this is a two-sided coin in this verse, and we've already looked at one side last week. We looked at the negative side. A Christian who either breaks even the smallest of God's words, the most least weighty of God's word, or leads others to do so. And that also doesn't mean that we're actually urging someone to break a commandment, but rather if our influence, maybe our child raising, or maybe our example, whatever, our influence can lead others to break commandments, okay? And if we do that, he's saying that we will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Who's calling? Who's doing the calling? God's calling. You and I, as children of God, right now, as we speak, are living in the kingdom. We're kingdom children right now. It doesn't begin when we get to heaven. Kingdom living begins the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. And of course, it extends past this life on into our eternal life. But also, how we conduct ourselves right now as believers is kingdom work. And it will affect the way God sees us and the way he esteems us. We talked about that little last week. I'm not implying, and don't misunderstand me at all, I'm not implying that if you and I aren't obedient enough that God will love us less. I'm not saying. God's love is eternal and his love is unconditional. The moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we became his children, and he loves us as much as he can ever love us, always and eternally, okay? So understand that. But it really boils down to God's evaluation of our Christian lives and in the way he sees the way we conduct ourselves, because it says shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, God has no choice but to esteem us to some degree by our behavior. In the sense of, I gave you the analogy last week of on a job. If I'm a boss, I might not dislike my employees, but I do have to evaluate. There's this one guy gets there early, stays late, then obviously I'm going to have a higher esteem for him, give him better responsibility or greater responsibilities, probably a pay raise, maybe a promotion, as opposed to the other guy that does the minimal or just really sometimes is just not helpful at all. You see, I'm just esteeming him. Doesn't mean I hate him, doesn't mean I dislike him. He's just not proving himself so I can hold him in that higher esteem. And it's very similar, okay? It's not a perfect analogy, okay? But this principle is taught throughout Scripture of the evaluation of our Christian lives. In the parable of the talents, we're going to turn over there in chapter 25. In the parable of the talents, the lord of the household was leaving town. And he was going to leave three of his stewards or his servants to take care of things. And so he gives one 5 talents, he gives one 2 talents, and he gives the other one 1 talent. Let's read it in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. "For the kingdom of heaven is as..." Now remember, note that, the kingdom of heaven. Now what did our text tell us? He's talking about who's least in the kingdom of heaven or who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We're serving in the kingdom right now, folks. "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. So every man," I want you to watch this, "every man according to what? His several ability. And then straightway he took his journey." Now, notice the word several, okay? It's not even remotely like the word several that you and I know, and so we have to discard our idea of what several means. In the Greek, this literally means private or one's own, or it's just simply speaking of personal. And so we could easily, you go look at yourself in the Greek lexicon and you can find that I'm telling you exactly the way it is. We could easily say every man according to his personal ability, and will be entirely accurate as to what the scripture's saying. Okay? No harm done. Everyone according to his personal ability. God knows that each and every one of us are not equal in the sense of abilities, gifts, and talents. Man, David's got more talent in his little finger musically than I could muster up in my entire life. I mean, it's a fact. We know that. That's why he leads the music. Now, I'm handsome. Okay? But each person has different levels of talents and gifts. God knows that. And that doesn't make one person better than the other. And so that's not what he's basing his estimation of us on. He doesn't base it on, well, this guy's more talented, I'm just going to throw more at him. There's no indication in this parable that the Lord of those servants is esteeming one servant more than the other initially. He just says, hey, there's a 3-talent guy, here's a 5-talent guy, or 5, 2, and 1-talent guy. He said, okay, he's simply acknowledging their personal ability. Then, later, after seeing the way they handled that, seeing the way they conducted themselves while he was gone, the way they worked, the way they managed things, then he made his estimation. And then after having made his estimation of all three of them, he made some changes. Let's read verse 20 and 21. Here's the first one that had 5 talents. And so he that had 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. Verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Okay, so that's the 5-talent guy. We see the very similar thing in verse 22, the 2-talent guy. He says he received 2 talents and he came and said, Lord, thou delivered me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained you 2 more. Same story. He tells him the next verse, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, this is all good. See, how is he esteeming the two of them? Highly, because they really took good care of their business. Does he esteem the 2-talent guy higher than the 5-talent guy? Nope. There's no indication, no difference in the way he responded. So it wasn't about talents or abilities or gifts or your stewardship was. It's how you handle your stewardship, okay? Now, let's look at the 1-talent servant, verse 24. Then he which received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn, and I was afraid. And I went and hid the talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast it, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, watch this, this is how he esteems him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not strawn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall have received mine own and usury. He's saying, in the very least, you should have put it someplace where it could gain some interest. And so we'll stop right there for a moment. This servant is held in low esteem in the Lord's eyes because of not, it's not about 1 talent, 2 talent, 3 talent, 4. It's about unfaithfulness. It's about disobedience in service. Has nothing to do with what he started with. Has nothing to do with the fact that he only started with 1 talent. It has to do with what he did with what was given to him. Now notice the adjustment that has to be made. The Lord esteems him. He esteemed the first 2 very highly. because of what they did. He esteems this guy lowly, okay? And now notice the adjustment he makes. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give unto him that hath 10 talents. What's he saying? You're irresponsible. You're not serving me. You're not obedient. You're not faithful. So I'm going to have to take what you have, and I've got to go over and give it to this guy that I esteem so much higher because of what he has done. Don't love him more because he's more talented. I just esteem him. My evaluation is higher than him. You see how this is happening? What the disobedient servant has what was put into his care reduced, and the obedient servant has what was in his care increased, all based on how the Lord esteemed them. So the servant who proves himself faithful, clearly the Lord's confidence is in him more, so he gives him more to work with. Do you see that principle? I mean, I don't know whether I'm explaining it that well, but it's summed up in verse 29. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Very clear that principle is. Now I want to make this clear. If you go on and read verse 30, and we can read it, he says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There, by all indications, that unfaithful servant was an unsaved man, okay? I don't deny that at all. That's likely exactly what's being saying here. But that does not negate the principle in the least. Two verses in this parable lay down the principle for us. Verse 21, we'll read it again. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, he's telling him how he esteems him. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. Okay, skip down to verse 23. The very same thing said to the two talent person. His Lord said unto him, well thou done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. That principle is undeniable, folks. So now let's return to our text, and I think I've covered about as much of that as I can, but I just am amazed at how those two texts tie this principle together. Now, verse 19, one more time, he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. We've already looked at that side of the principle, okay? That's the negative side. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This principle is applied to two things in this verse. Obedience, he's talking about those that do the commandments, and influence, those we have sway over. Our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people that we have influence over. This principle applies to both of them. We have influence whether we're teaching someone or whether we're just setting an example for someone. So we have doing and teaching that's being evaluated here by this principle, being evaluated by God. When we are faithful to the Word of God in our everyday doing, and we're faithful to help others do the right thing, then God says, the Scripture says here, then we will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Who's doing the calling again? God. It's not anybody else that we have to worry about. It's what God calls us. And so if He calls us, I don't know about you, but I sure like the idea of God calling me great rather than calling me least, okay? Because this really, folks, should be encouraging to all of us, because all of us can be faithful. See, it's not a measurement of talent. I don't have to be able to sing like David. And you don't have to be able to do like the person next to you. That's not what it's about. Every person can be faithful in the things of God. One person is not more limited to another person. Every person can be faithful to the things of God. Remember, the estimation is based on faithfulness and obedience. You can be faithful. I can be faithful. You can be obedient. I can be obedient. You can teach people or influence them to do the same, and so can I. And so it's just really an encouraging principle that we find here in verse 19. Now, I don't want to, we wouldn't have time to really get into verse 20, so let me just briefly just wind up here. I see kids moving around in the back, and so they're in a hurry, I'm sure. But let me just give you, just throw a few things out there, how you and I can, as verse 19 tells us, do the least of the commandments, how we can exercise this and how we can influence others to do the same. Number one, we can start by giving the way Scripture instructs us to give. Folks, I'm not afraid to talk about giving because I give, okay? I'm not boasting. I just learned a long time ago to obey God in that area, and I won't ever change it. I can't afford to change it because it's the only way to go. But giving is a sure test of our willingness to serve God. God knows that if He has our checkbook, friends, then He's got us. I mean, it's just, that's why money is talked about so much in the Scripture by Jesus, because He knows if I got that person's checkbook, then I know I've got him surrendered or her surrendered. It's just a fact, okay? Money in a very large way is a measure of our lives. And if we don't give faithfully and we don't give obediently, then we can expect in that area of life to be esteemed lower by God. Not loved less, not saying that, but esteemed lower. God knows whether we give according to the Scripture. And it's really, when we are, say hypothetically, I didn't give or I didn't give obediently, okay? Sometimes we arbitrarily just come up with a number, well, I'm giving $100 a month. That's not tithing. Well, I'm giving $200 a month. That's not tithing. Not unless you make $2,000 a month. Now, if you're living on $1,000 a month and you're giving $100, then so be it. That's obedience. But if you arbitrarily came up with some number and you're giving that, that's not obedience. It's just not. Okay, and so say I do that. I just tip God with my $100 or whatever. And so God is going to, in that area of finances, is going to esteem me not faithful, as opposed to esteeming someone else who is obedient as faithful. So what does that mean for my finances? That means that sometimes God takes away and places over here because, hey, you're not faithful. You're not a five talent. You're not able to manage five talents, so maybe I'm going to have to reduce you to three because you hadn't figured it out yet. See, this is simple stuff. You know, really, it amazes me that so many people can be in so many positions in life that show them so capable, and yet they can't do simple math. They can't figure out what 10% is. They can run a company. They can be the manager. They can be a school teacher. They can be a doctor. And they can't do a simple math and figure out what 10% is. And you see it in their lives, folks. And I don't mean to harp, but it's a fact. If we'll learn to give the way Scripture says give, then God will esteem us in the area of finances, and He will give us more. I've seen it too many times. Okay? Secondly, we can be obedient in our attitude and disposition. We can do it the way the Scripture tells us, folks. And this is a hard one because it involves humility, kindness, forgiveness, compassion, being hospitable, being patient, not gossiping, not slandering, not murmuring, not complaining, not having anger, not having bitterness, not having resentment or jealousy. And folks, when we have an absence of all those bad things and the presence of those good things, we're a reflection of what God's Word says. And God will esteem us very highly in those little things, the least of the things, remember? He says obedience. Last but not least, and I'll hurry, we can serve God in the way Scripture says serve. And of course, that involves obviously serving God in the church. That goes without saying. But we need to be faithful to serve God in the church, but also faithfulness to serve God daily in those that are around us, folks. And Jesus said in Matthew 25, He says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not, or did it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. So our service every day, whether it's the guy next to us in line or whether it's our family or whatever it is, every day the way we deal with people is that service. And it's the reflection of the kind of servant we are. Servants are not hard to identify. You just start being, be more conscientious around you and watch people. I like to watch people. I can pick up a servant in a heartbeat. You know why? It's anywhere from offering their seat to someone who's standing to not rushing to be the first in line. Anywhere from being the first one to show up and help and being the last one to leave. You just watch servants. That's what they do. It's not well thought out. That's just what they do. And it's indicative of what's going on in the heart. A servant's heart just does those things, folks. And that's a good way for us to obey the Lord, even in the least of things, so we can be esteemed great in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you guys very much. And we will pick up in verse 20 next week, okay? And talk about the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. So let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed. We'll look forward to seeing you back here on Sunday.